Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
And let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Let us pray. Father, as we come before you this morning, there is so much to be thankful for. Father, all the promises that you have promised to each and every one of us that are your children. Father, we pray today for all of those that are sick, Father. All of those that are physically sick, we pray for them, Father. And Lord, we want to pray for all of those that are spiritually sick. All of those, Father, that do not have the promises that we have, we uplift them to you, Father. We thank you, Father, for those promises. And we pray, Father, that we could be instrumental in passing your word on to share the gospel with those that are lost, Father. And Father, we thank you for the blessed assurance that we have, Father. And we thank you for the mansion that you have built for us, Father. And Father, that mansion could just be a little shack on the back 40. Father, as long as we're in your presence. So Father, today, I pray for someone, Father, to get a glimpse of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. I pray today would be the day of salvation for those that are lost, Father. And dear Lord, I pray for our pastor, dear Lord. Pray for Brother Cal as he comes up and breaks the bread of life to us today. I ask, Father, that you will just bless and anoint the words, Father. Bless him and his family. Pray for Billy as he comes later, Father, and as he leads to Sunday school. Father, how you have anointed him and blessed him also, Father. Lord, I want to pray for each and every person that's teaching Sunday school, for the children and for the nursery workers, and just uplift it to you, Father, and give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, JD. Well, I've got a card I need to read to you guys. And bless God, I did read this one before I got up here. To our Second Mile family, we wanted to give you or give our greatest thank you to every member of our Second Mile family. We're beyond appreciative of all the love and support you've given to our growing family over this last year. Our sweet baby boy has finally arrived. He was born on July the 10th of this year. Thank you for all the prayers and love for our healthy baby boy. We are adjusting to our new life slowly, enjoying every moment, taking it one day at a time. We miss y'all greatly and are constantly thinking of y'all. We can't wait to come visit very soon. We love you with all of our joyous appreciation. Seti, Abby, and Finnegan Perry. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me just take a point of personal privilege and just say it is such a blessing to pastor a serving church. Y'all are a working bunch. I look over here. Here's Ronnie Fuller and old John Coconut. These two are all over town every day during the week doing something for Jesus. I appreciate you guys. And then Wednesday, Susan's mission team, we fed over 300 Austin Peay faculty and staff over there Wednesday. Fabulous day Thursday. This was a God thing. Greg Lee had kind of jumped on this, had run into this mother-to-mother ministry, and Alex helped us get the word out. And out at our Kenwood campus, there were several folks there from Second Mile and from the Kenwood campus serving. But we gave out cribs, mattresses, toys, formula, diapers, car seats, all kinds of stuff to over 265 mamas. Thank God for a working church. And JD, and Betty ran out to Kenwood Wednesday night. Derek was in quarantine and couldn't get there, and so JD at the last minute was called and he went out. I mean, I'm so thankful to have a serving church. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, keep working till Jesus comes. All right. We're in Haggai this morning. Haggai chapter 2. And I think what I'm going to do, Ellen, I'm going to back up to chapter 1 and start at verse 13. Okay? I'm going to read we're going to go down through chapter 2 and verses 1 through 9 this morning. But I want to read this from chapter 1 and verse 13. If you've got a copy of God's Word, let's just do a little recourse from last week here. And let's stand to the honor of God's Word if we can. If you can stand, if you can't, you honor God's Word the best way you know how. Chapter 1 and verse 13 of the book of Haggai. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. Now watch this. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. Father, would you honor your word this morning? Don't honor the preacher. Get me behind the cross. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. In this sermon series on revival, God, would you revive Second Mile Church? Oh, God, do what only you can do today. In Jesus' sweet name, all God's children said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. We learned last week that through the providence of God, he had led 50,000 Jewish remnant from Babylon back to Jerusalem in order to rebuild the temple. And the city of God, Jerusalem, for the glory of God. And in 536 B.C., the rebuilding of the temple began, but because of three or four hindrances and oppositions, work on the temple had ceased for 20 years. And last week we heard the great message from Haggai the prophet. And while he was preaching the word of God to the people of God, amazingly, the Spirit of God began to move. And it stirred up Zerubbabel. The Spirit stirred up the civic leader. And then the Spirit of God moved on the high priest, Joshua, and stirred up the religious leader. And then the Spirit of God stirred up the remnant of the folks who were there. And the result was Holy Ghost revival. And the result of that was that the work on the temple commenced in less than 3 weeks. They were the right place at the right time, and the Israelites were the right people. They were the people of God. And I've come here today to tell you all, you are God's people just like those Israelites. And you are the right people at the right place at the right time, in order to fulfill God's purpose and plan for your life here in Clarksville, Tennessee. And I've also come here today to tell you, if you're a little bit droopy-eyed and you're a little bit down or whatever, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And so about a month later, Haggai, after that first message, gets up to preach a second message. And it's very significant when he does that. It's on the seventh day of one of Israel's great harvest festivals, the Feast of the Tabernacles. And by the way, this was the same date that Solomon had dedicated that great temple 450 some odd years before. Same date. And so there's all kinds of things going on here in the rebuilding of Zerubbabel's temple, some scholars call it, the new temple. And I want you to see today that as bad as things may look sometimes, the people of God can be positive because we're His people. And we're at the right place. And we've got the right plan because we have His plan. So let's listen in on Haggai's second message. Are you ready? Five of you are ready. Are you ready?
Yes.
Y'all better get ready Tuesday night, let me tell you. I mean, it's going to be big. I'll say more about that at the end of the service today. But look at the best is yet to come. That's what I've entitled the message. And partially because we have the promise of God's plan. Look at verse 1 in chapter 2. In the seventh month, on the 21st of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying," verse 3, "who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? In comparison with it, is this not in your eyes as nothing?" God had a plan to rebuild His house. Now, we're not told just how much of this reconstruction process had been completed just a month later. But what we do know is that there was enough of the building project going on that the people of God could see what this new temple was going to look like. And there were some old folks there. Let's hear it for the old folks. I'm one of y'all. And there were some priests and Levites there in their 80s and 90s. And they'd been in Babylon for 70 years, but now they're home. And when they saw this new temple that was being built, Ezra chapter 3 and verse 12 says that some of them began to weep. And they're looking back at Solomon's temple because this new temple wasn't going to be anywhere near as large and luxurious, as grand and glorious as Solomon's. Y'all, Solomon's temple was the eighth wonder of the ancient world. It was overlaid with gold and silver and precious stones, tremendous marble floors, amazing, gorgeous, beautiful tapestry and fabric. But not Zerubbabel, not this new temple. And so Ezra tells us that the older crowd is making comparisons of the old temple to the new temple, and it was discouraging the younger folks and the builders. Now, let me tell you about Solomon's. Let's just take all of it was overlaid with gold, and the Holy of Holies, the little cube-shaped room where God resided, that whole room was overlaid with gold. 600 talents of gold. You know how much one talent of gold weighs? 140 pounds. And if you valued gold at about $300 an ounce, just the Holy of Holies was worth over $4 billion. And so this new temple wasn't going to be anywhere near as glorious and valuable in the old folks' eyes. You know, that's what happens sometimes. Old folks will begin, like me, will begin to look back at the past and start making comparisons and get really filled with the glory days. Sometimes the glory days weren't really so glorious. Y'all understand what I'm saying? And when that happens, we look back. I've heard it this week. Diane and I have been going to these revival services and heard somebody say the other night, you know, man, we're having a great revival. And then I heard some old preacher say, well, you should have been at that revival 40 years ago. It was a gully washer. Athletes do this, do they not? Charles Barkley. I mean, he doesn't think there was any better NBA basketball player today than there was 30 years ago. The past just gets bigger and bigger and bigger in our eyes. And so we don't want to make the mistake of comparing things. Now, you need to learn from the past, but you move on from the past. Right? And so I want to say to our young folks, we're going to pour into y'all. We're going to do everything we can to get you where you need to be in order to build the kingdom of God here in this place. That's what we're going to do. And we're not going to look back at the past and get critical about the present and the future. Come on, all you blue hair, say amen.
Amen.
All right? I had to say that. And by the way, I've read the last page of the book. The best is yet to come. Y'all didn't even think about that, did you? The best is yet to come. And so we're building God's kingdom and we're following His plan for our good and His glory. God bless y'all. I see y'all here. Anyway, so that's the first thing, okay? Y'all with me so far? The best is yet to come because we have the promise of God's plan. He's building His kingdom here in Clarksville, Tennessee, and we're supporting other ministries like the one in the Dominican Republic. What a blessing this is. And then secondly, we have the promise of God's presence. Check this out. Look at verse 4. Yet now, be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord. And be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord. And work, for I am with you. There should have been an amen there, second mile. For I am with you, says the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. Now, three times the word of God tells the people through the prophet Haggai, be strong, be strong, be strong. And those words would have driven this bunch, this remnant, back to the past. Anybody remember what God said to Joshua just before they went into the promised land? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, be not dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And the covenant that he's talking about here in verse 5 is the covenant that God made with the children of Israel at Mount Sinai. It was there at Mount Sinai. He said, you will be my people and I will be your God. And if you follow me and are obedient to my commands, I will bless your socks off. Well, they didn't even have socks. They just had sandals. But anyways, that was the covenant. They were to be his representatives, his ambassadors to the world, to all of those pagan nations. And they could be strong. They could be courageous, even in the midst of discouragement, because God was with them. The same God that led 2 million slaves out of Egypt would be with them. The same God who parted the waters of the Red Sea and drowned the Egyptian army was with them. The same God that fed over 2 million Israelites out in the wilderness for 40 years every morning and every evening was with them. Hallelujah. And the same God that had always been with them would be with this remnant and empower them to rebuild the temple. Now, y'all know, if you've known me for any time, you know where I'm going now. The same God that was with the Israelites and the Jewish remnant here in Jerusalem is with us. He's with us. Oh, you just don't know what's going on, Brother Cal. Not in my life. He is with you. If you're a believer, if you're a follower of Christ Jesus, you have the strongest power in the universe taking up residence in your life. His spirit lives in my spirit. He is with you. He is with you. You don't have to fear. You don't have to be afraid. God is with you in the spirit of the Lord Jesus. My goodness, you've got resurrection power. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you've got power. Well, you didn't want to say that, say this. He's with you. Now, I've come here today to tell you, be strong and of good courage, for the Lord our God is with us. We have proven that God has a sense of humor. He'll use anybody, right, second milers? He'll do anything through anyone who's sold out to him. So, there's the second promise of the things that are coming in building the kingdom of God. We have the promise of God's plan. We have the promise of God's presence. And then thirdly, we have the promise of God's purpose. Watch this. Look at verse 6. Are y'all with me? Am I moving too fast? verse 6, for thus says the Lord of hosts. Now watch this. Once more, parentheses open, it is a little while, parentheses closed. In other words, not yet, but something's coming. He said, I will shake. That's future tense. I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land. And I will shake, that's future tense, all nations. And they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill, that's future tense, this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. Now, let's unpack this, okay? We're talking here about God's purpose. You know, it's always great to accomplish God's plan, but when you get to understand what God's purpose is, the plan just becomes crystal clear, right? It's a dialogue, brothers and sisters, not a monologue. The desire of all nations is a reference, I believe, to Christ. Now, we've already mentioned that the former glory of Solomon's temple was unbelievable. All the silver, all the gold, all the precious stones that was overlaid in things, the fabrics, the tapestry, it was unbelievable. I mean, it was the eighth wonder of the ancient world. It really was. But as glorious as that temple was, there was coming a greater glory in this new temple. I think he's talking about Jesus here. You know, they experienced the glory about 500 years later when Mary and Joseph came into the temple with the baby Jesus who was just 8 days old. They saw the glory. And then when Jesus, you remember when he was a 12-year-old boy? I mean, he confounded the scholars and the scribes in the temple. They experienced the glory. And then when Jesus began his earthly ministry, from time to time, he would go into the temple and sit down and begin to teach truth and tell folks about the things to come. And the glory was present. And all of you remember that time when he went into, well, you weren't there, but you've heard about it and read about it, when Jesus cleansed the temple and ran the money changers and the thieves and all of that off and said, my house, he made this claim, shall be a house of prayer. They experienced the glory. And little did they realize that that glory of the Lord Jesus Christ was even greater than the glory in Solomon's temple. That's what Haggai just said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I've got a couple of minutes. What's all this stuff about? I will shake heaven and earth. I'll shake the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations. They shall come to them, and I'll fill this temple with glory. What is all that about? Well, that is, I believe, a reference over there in Matthew 24, verses 29 and 30. Revelation chapter 6 talks about this great shaking that God is going to give to the heavens and the earth. I believe he's talking here about the end time events of the great tribulation period. Now, I don't know where you are theologically on end time events, but you know what? It really doesn't matter. I believe that's what this reference is to. God is going to shake the heavens and the earth. For what purpose? I'm glad you asked. If you have a Bible or an electronic device, go to Hebrews chapter 12, because the writer of Hebrews answers this question. Hebrews chapter 12. You didn't know how close you were to this morning, Andrew, when you went to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, 26. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake, not only the earth, but also heaven. In other words, there's coming a tremendous shaking. And when you read what's going on this planet during the Great Tribulation, I mean the sun and the moon and the stars are shaking. There's tremendous cosmic upheaval. And then all the earthquakes and all the natural calamities that are going on the earth. God shaking the earth. Well, what is behind all that shaking? God's trying to get the attention of the earth dwellers during those days, and he's still doing that today. Because you see, can you imagine anyone that has put their trust in the things of this world and in the things that are temporary and in the things that are passing away, when God shakes all of that and all of that stuff is removed, what's going to happen? Well, their life won't be worth a plugged nickel. Look at verse 27. Here's the answer to what we're asking. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. What the Word of God's telling us this morning is that when God shakes the universe, it's so important on what foundation you built your life on. If you built your life on sinking sand, all that you've got's going to fall and be removed. It's going to be gone. But if you've built your life on the rock of ages, that foundation will stand forever. And you will never be shaken. Oh yeah, I know. Some of us have had a little shaking here and a little shaking there, and all God's children get shook from time to time. But your foundation's going to stand. It's not going to fall apart. Things that are eternal. What's the old song? Our hope is in things that are eternal. I think about the throne of God. The throne of God is eternal. The Word of God is eternal. It's never going to pass away. The Son of God is eternal. The Spirit of God is eternal. And here's a good one. The church of God is forever. Look at your neighbor and say, boy, that's a long time. I have come here to tell y'all the best is yet to come. There's one final thing. One final truth here in verse 9. Are you with me? The best is yet to come because we have the promise of God's peace. Verse 9, back in Haggai, Cal. The glory of this latter temple, Zerubbabel's temple, shall be greater than the former, Solomon's temple, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, future tense, I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. I believe this is a reference to that millennial temple that Ezekiel writes about and talks about. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 says that when Jesus sits down in the Holy of Holies in Jerusalem, at his return to reign and rule with a rod of righteousness for 1,000 years. It's going to be an amazing time of peace. Why? Because Isaiah says he's the Prince of Peace. We will finally have peace for 1,000 years. I mean, evil and corruptness will immediately be dealt with during that 1,000. And by the way, if your neighbor's born again, the person you're sitting beside is a believer, you're going to reign and rule with him. I've asked this question 100 times. Billy, I wonder who's going to reign and rule over Clarksville during those days. It's going to be a saint of God, that's who. Coach Gregory may get to finally run Clarksville one day. Probably doesn't want it, but anyways. Peace. The lion's going to lay down with the lamb. The little children are going to play beside the den of the cobra. People are going to live long lives. And the nations are going to do everything they can do to get to Jerusalem. Why? So that they can worship the King and learn from Him. And there's going to be peace that passes. I'm telling y'all, the best is yet to come. And so I've said all of that to say this. As we are building the kingdom of God here in this place and around the world, we can have true revival. Because you see, revival is not found in a place. It's found in a person whose name is Jesus. The best is yet to come. Would you pray with me? Father, I could have said a lot more, but I believe the Spirit has told me that's enough. And you need to go, and you're going to work right now. There are some people here today, bless their hearts. I love them, you love them, but they are not ready should you return today. They're not ready. And the only way they can get ready is to surrender to you as Lord and Savior of their life. Oh, I pray, Father, that folks in this room today that are not ready would turn from their sin, confess it to the Lord, and receive His cleansing power, and surrender whatever time they have left on this earth to Him for His glory. And then there are many believers in the house today, many of you, who are saved. You're born again. You're following Jesus as best you can. And you really want to make a difference in the time that you have left. Maybe you want to be a missionary. Maybe you believe God's calling you to the mission. But maybe God's calling you to the ministry. And you just need somebody to pray over you as you build the kingdom of God. It's not about building Second Mile Church. It's about building the kingdom of God. And you need to come and you need to pray. Maybe your family's in a mess. I've come here today to tell you the best is yet to come, and He can take care of your family. He can put everything back together. Father, right now, would the Spirit of the living God begin to move through these aisles and through these chairs? Right now, Father. And do a work that only you can do. I'm going to ask all of you in just a minute, every person here, if you need salvation today, I'm going to ask you to just get out of your seat and come. We'll have counselors here to share with you how you can be saved. Put some stuff in your hands. And then every believer, if you're here this morning, you need to pray about some kind of kingdom issue, we're going to ask you to come. We want to pray over you, just like we did over the Rainies, for God to have His way in your life. Oh, Father God, do what only you can do right now. We promise to give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. And for His sake. Brother Andrew's going to lead us.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.